So this morning I'm wanting to share a word with you called Speak Life. Everyone say Speak Life. Speak Life. Amen. We are speaking life. And so Monday morning I was driving back from work, as I do every morning, driving back from school, as I do every morning, dropping the kids in Stellenbosch. And you know, there's a couple of things that you can do on the way back, audio Bible or pray or worship. But that morning I was listening to Radio Tijgerberg. Okay, so do we have any other Radio Tijgerberg fans? Radio Tijgerberg, 104 FM. Ons verkonde Christus. Yeah, amen. It's a great radio station. They just have some fantastic shows and interviews. Maar die omroeper, the DJ, what do you call the person? The presenter was actually speaking about this concept of our tongue and what we say. And I must tell you, I was like, wow, they're onto something here. And so I'm driving back on Monday morning, and I don't know, for some other reason, I just, you know, wasn't feeling top of the morning. And I'd heard this message on the radio that we ought to speak life, and I even heard some scriptures, but there were just a couple of things that were bothering me. And I was kind of walking around and brooding a little bit on these things that, you know, were bothering me. And I got home and I spoke to Jolene and I said, you know, this stuff that's bothering me. And all of a sudden we were both a bit down. And after a while she said, my ek voel nie nou lekker nie. And then I realized, oh goodness, it kind of pulled us down. And so I was down, she was fine, I got home, and then we were both down, so we're both walking around a little bit like we've got the weight of the world on our shoulders. And then we came to the team meeting, our office meeting, and I brought my bad mood in, and all of a sudden three of us were walking down a little bit. And I realized that after the meeting, I actually repented the next day. But after me, I realized that my inability to see the positive in the day and to focus on the negative soured the whole atmosphere. It soured my personal atmosphere. It soured the atmosphere in my house. And then it soured the atmosphere in our team meeting. And I was just it's as if I didn't listen to the omroeper, to the presenter. And I hadn't been speaking life that morning. And I chose to see the glass half empty. I spoke to my kids yesterday because we've been on a mission all week to speak life. And when they were speaking negatively, I said to them, if the glass is half, is it half empty or is it half full? And they went, half empty. And I said, yes, it's half empty, but what is it also? Half full. So let's see, who are half empty people and who are half full people here? Maybe you shouldn't raise your hand. But the reality is when the glass is half, it's both. It's half empty and it's half full. Depends on how you see it. And so situations very often are 50-50. What's going to happen? I don't know. So I can choose to go to worst case scenario, or I can choose the faith route and say, you know what? No, it's actually going to turn out fine. The bottom line is, it all depends. You choose. You choose. And so this has a lot to do with what we speak and what we declare. And I want to share a couple of scriptures here before you. And before I do that, I want to ask you this question. What is the most powerful part of the human body? Now, don't give me the answer I want. Just think of the Olympics, okay? I mean, those guys, the javelin throw it, what are they throwing it? The ladies are throwing it about 70. The men are throwing probably near 100 or something. Maybe the bicep. Can you see it? let me try this arm. The bicep, or maybe the thigh. I mean, those rugby guys, they kick a ball for. Or I've heard the jawbone muscle. Us South Africans that eat biltong, I've heard we have overdeveloped jawbone muscles compared to the rest of the world. What's the most powerful part of the body? Okay. Let's do the Christian answer. Yes, the tongue. So I'm not sure if the Bible has much to say about what is the most powerful part of the body, but it has a lot to say about the tongue. And so James 3, if you read with me, it says, the James 3 verse 3, it says, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large, they are driven by strong winds. They are guided by a very small rudder. Everyone say very small. Very small rudder. Wherever the will of the pilot directs, so also the tongue is a small member of the body, yet it boasts of great things. And so this is the ESV. The NLT is a little bit more English friendly, and it basically says we have these huge, powerful horses that are much stronger than us, yet we put a small thing into its mouth and we can do with that horse, that massive horse, whatever we want. We can go left, we can go right. All we do is we move the reins, but you have to put something small into their mouths. And so also this massive ship, think of kind of the Titanic of today, and yet it is turned, this massive piece of steelwork and construction is turned by a relatively small little instrument called the rudder, and so also is the tongue. And it's basically saying this body of ours can get kind of totally out of control, but the thing that controls it is the tongue. Proverbs 18:21, a very well-known scripture. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. NLT, the tongue can bring both death and life, or death or life, and those who love to talk will reap the consequences. The tongue is indeed a powerful, powerful instrument. If you read the rest of James chapter 3, it actually portrays the tongue in quite a negative fashion, and basically saying it can fear sit die binne, and it can cause massive havoc. One small little spark can burn down a whole forest. And if we have uncontrolled tongues, we can do immense damage. And so the tongue is regarded in the Bible as an instrument that needs to be harnessed, because it can both bless and curse. And so let's just look for a second at the power of words. Creative power. In the beginning, God didn't say, and let me fathom together with my hands light and earth and water and sky and plants. No, the word says he spoke. We actually see the creative power of God's words. Let there be light, and there was light. Genesis 1 verse 3. We see the power of affirmation, positive words. When Jesus was affirmed by the Father and he was baptized, and God says, Matthew 3:17, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. And so the Father is speaking a word of affirmation over the Son. And fathers, you know, one of the most powerful things we can do is speak affirmation over our boys and our girls. We often hear this, you know, it's like moms, they work so hard, they try so hard, they do everything, they sometimes say the punching bag and sometimes the vloerlap and everything, and mom is just running around trying to keep the show together, and she does do that, and then all the boy or the mother wants is a word of affirmation from the father. And so the father often has this role of affirmation, speaking life over the son. And many of us know what it's like not to have that affirmation. I've shared with you before, I have a family member whose dad passed away, and I knew they'd had a rough time as kids growing up under this father, and the dad had issues like we all do, but he wasn't able to demonstrate love or affirmation to his children. In fact, towards the end, it became bitterness, and he took out his failures and frustrations out on the kids and broke them down so that he could somehow feel better about himself. And I saw the vacuum in this family member. I saw what it's like when there's this God-shaped hole that the dad is meant to fill with words of love, and I accept you, and I believe in you, and I know you can make something of your life. And when there's nothing of that, in fact, when the words of breaking down are spoken of, you see a grown man or a grown woman that's just not got that what they need. And he said to me, I never heard one time, not once, did my father ever tell me, he loves me. And we're talking about an amazing individual who by all means is sorted in all kinds of ways. Yet there's one thing that God designed. When we need affirmation, it needs to come through our mouths. I'm reading this Reinhard Bonnke book, Evangelism by Fire, and just realize what era they grew up in. And it was just, never mind words. There was just no physical touch. And they in the war, and he's describing how they, they were Germans, Reinhard Bonnke family, and, you know, how they got caught up and they became prisoners of war. I think it was in Poland, and they got separated from their dad for 5 years, and how their mom had to raise these, I think, four or five kids in this prisoner of war camp, and just how Reinhard describes that something hectic happened, and it was the first time that his mother kind of just grabbed him and held him, because they kind of once a year on their birthday, they kind of got a little hug. And you just realize the depravity of how humans are. They grow up and they told, you know, this is how we express love. You know, you kind of just need to assume your love. No, a kid needs to be told, I love you, my boy. I love you, my girl. And come here, let me ruffle your hair and give you a hug. It's the way God designed it. And so there are these things, the power of affirmation and the lack of affirmation and the vacuum that it leaves. God declared over his son, I love you. I'm proud of you. You're going to change the world. How much more should we be declaring it over our kids? But it needs to come out of our mouths. The power of negative words. I was sitting in a group a while back, and I wasn't leading the group. There was another facilitator, and we were actually attending a course. And this man, was this spiritual giant in a sense, was leading our group, and it came to this issue of this lack of affirmation and negative words. And I saw him tear up when he remembered, and he's in his 70s, and he said, when I was a little boy at school, this teacher broke me down in class, and I'll never forget it. And he was still a broken 70-year-old from a sentence or a statement that one teacher who was hurting himself took out on a kid, and it was still breaking this man. We must remember that sticks and stones will break our bones, but words will harm us. And so I'm just trying to show to you the power that is in your mouth and what you are doing with it. Let's go a little bit further. Curses, the use of words for destructive purposes. We've got the story in Numbers of Balaam and Balak, and you guys all know about Bileam's a donkey and that story. And eventually he couldn't curse the people of God. But we realize that curses are not just things that Satanists do, okay? A while back, a few years ago, we were driving back from prison ministry, myself and Liesl, I can't remember who else was in the car. And we came there into Groendal, and we took the second left, and we're kind of coming up there. You guys know that street, Davo, I think it's Davins, Omar Blay. And in the trees, there were just this tape, you know, like audio tape, like back in, because I need to help a few of the young people. When we were young, there were these things called tapes before CDs, okay? And so you could, if you had this particular cassette recorder, you could actually record, press play and record at the same time, and you could speak, and it would record your voice. And I remember growing up, and we'd become aware of tape on certain parts of the road, or by a robot, or by, I don't know, busy intersection. And we found this tape all over the trees. And usually what happens sometimes with this tape is people of the occult then actually record curses. And then they strategically place it at intersections. And sadly, it does seem to have an influence on what plays out there. And so, you know, there's a lot of police reports about this and police insight into how these things get used negatively. And so we just immediately discern in our spirit, we don't know what's on those tapes, but it's very interesting that it's kind of put at the entrance of Groendal. And so we took us half an hour to clear three or four trees that were just strewn with this tape. We don't know what was on it, but we thought, we're not just going to drive away and assume that it's blessings. We're gonna take it down, because if it is cursed, we don't want our community to have this captured curse recorded in the spirit. And so, yeah, curses, you know, happen. But what we can do as Christians is we can get overwhelmed by the fact, oh, this one's cursing us. Or remember our Satanist friend that was targeting us a while back with all his pentagrams on our flags and rocks over the walls here. And we can get, ooh, look what the devil is doing. We can become devil-focused. And as you know in this church, we're not devil-focused, because God is just way much more exciting, way bigger, way more powerful. So we focus on Jesus in this church. Amen. And so I want to say to you, if the Satanists or the occultists or the people that want to do bad stuff are achieving so much through cursing, imagine what we could do when we start blessing. Except that Christians don't bless. They haven't tapped into the power of godly blessing. And so we're going to speak about that a little bit more in a second. What would happen when Christians wake up and start blessing. Blessing one another, blessing their business, blessing their marriages, blessing whatever needs to be blessed. Let's just end off this negative connotation of words. And maybe that's why James goes into so much detail around the havoc and destruction that negative words or curses can bring. Matthew 15, Jesus is teaching about in the context of unwashed hands, and he's talking about stuff that makes you clean and unclean. And he says here, then Jesus called to the crowd to come and hear. Listen, he said, and try to understand. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. It's not what you eat or not eat. As Jesus says, it goes into the stomach and it goes into the toilet. That's not going to defile you. He says the stuff that defiles you is what comes out of your mouth. Okay, the words that come out of your mouth. And then he takes a little bit further and he says, the words come from a deeper place, your heart. So your heart, your mond verklik, your heart. Okay, so the mouth is just giving away the heart. But this morning, we're focusing on the mouth. Because although it's residing in the heart, it still needs to come out of the mouth. And the mouth is the one that does damage or builds up. It depends, you choose. What are we going to do with these instruments that God has given us? James 3, verse 8, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Wow, this is challenging, eh? Let's just park here for a minute around kritol. Okay, swearing. Obviously, nobody in this church swears ever. Okay, so I should actually just be moving on, hey? So I was standing yesterday at the tennis. My son was at least supposed to be playing tennis. It was raining most of the time. But I was speaking to another parent, and we're talking about taalgebruik, the use of language in primary school. And we're talking about a coach that had come in and had actually used a couple of swear words, we were just both actually shocked, because you see, even though it's not a formal teacher of the school, it's an outside coach, they still are a role model for our children. And so this parent, because my son William had told me about this, and his kid had told him about it, and what I heard was, as soon as this coach, who's an authority figure, it's an older person, not much older than him, we're talking about a student, you know, but still in their eyes, he's a role model and an authority figure. As soon as he started swearing in the practice, some of the kids started swearing. And it was quite amazing that kind of as he kind of started swearing, it gave the freedom, okay, he's swearing, I can swear, okay? And so it created this very negative vibe in the team. You know, as the kids became aware of this, and still a bit of cleanup necessary to do that. But I just realized, especially, you know, my kids that grow up in church, and you realize that they hear it somewhere. Kids don't just start swearing because, you know, they're on the internet. Mostly kids swear because they hear it at home. And so one just becomes aware of every word counts in your household. Every word counts. And we're talking to the girls about this, and they said, my girls said, "Ja, papa, hulle vloek ook daar in ons klas." Now they're a little bit, grades, she's now grades 3 and 5, and hulle sê, the S word. I'm like, the S word, "Ja, papa. Shut up." I'm like, "Thank Jesus." "Jy ken nog nie die ander S woord nie." Ek sê dis 'n baie slegte woord. But we need to guard the words that are spoken in our homes, because bitter and sweet water can't come from the same fountain. And guys, we are all under pressure. We all have moments where we crack. We all have moments where the stuff surfaces. And for some of us, you know, I don't know, we bang our fist. And for some of us, the frustration comes out of our mouth. And die taxi hoor van it. You know, hoor van it in France. You weet, But the Bible, you know, that we're talking about our tongue here. We're talking about words and the power of words. And Ephesians 5 addresses this language issue pretty head on. So Ephesians 5 verse 4 says, "Let there be no filthiness. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk." Okay, park that one for a second. "Nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving." Let there be no filthiness, foolish talk, or crude joking. It's out of place. And ek weet ons bly in Franshoek. Mense mos, ons gaan nie Frans praat nie. Julle weet wat se Frans ek van praat. But guys, we need to watch every word that comes out. Let's finish off this power of the tongue in a negative concept: gossip and slander. You know that the Bible is pretty serious about gossip and about slander. Gossip is chi-chi-chi-chi-chi, that which you shouldn't be talking about, okay? And slander is when you, as iemand sleg sê, and we kind of have a principle in our house, if you can't say it in front of the person, don't say it, you know? Rather build them up, you know? And so Leviticus 19 verse 16 says, "You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people." You shall not go and slander people. Okay, so that is the power of the tongue in a negative context. Let's get to the good stuff. Let's get to the positive. How are we meant to use this? How are we meant to turn all these negative potential situations around? And the simple answer is we must speak life. Everyone say, speak life. Speak life. You see, it's a choice. You choose what you speak. Nobody controls your tongue except you. And I've heard people say to somebody else, "You made me do it." You know, or "You made me angry." As another pastor says, no, angry was in you. It just came out when that person said something. And so we want to blame other people for our misbehavior and our bad behavior. The reality is, yes, there is a root and there is a legitimate hurt and there's stuff we need to deal with. But in the end, only you can deal with the stuff that's in your heart. And if you don't deal with the stuff that's in your heart, it will come out of your mouth. And so we need to become custodians of our hearts and our mouths. But not just to be Christians that survive, not swear, not slander till we hit glory. Let's be people that build the kingdom through our mouths. Let life emanate. You see, when you speak life, other people change. Because that's the nature of words. Especially words in the spirit. We're not even talking about spiritual gifts and words of knowledge and words of affirmation. That changes lives. You know, people can be going from broken people to people that are following God passionately with one accurate word of knowledge or one word of life that's spoken at the right time. And so how do we speak life? How do we change the culture of our mouths to become edifying? Number one, we access the power of thanksgiving. We access the power of thanksgiving. You see, there's something about what happens when you verbalize that which is going well for you or your blessings. Sometimes we're all blessed except nobody knows it and we don't even know it because we haven't bothered to never mind just think about it, but to speak it out. And so sometimes I just become aware of, I wake up a little bit grumpy in the morning and then she'll ask me, "How was your night?" I'm like, "Ugh. Ek wou nog slaap. I wanted to sleep more." And then you kind of stumble to the kettle. I don't drink coffee, but you know, for the other coffee drinkers, I put the kettle on. And you kind of wake up the kids and like everybody's like, "Oh, gotta go to school. It's so cold, it's raining again. Oh, why do we live so far from Stellenbosch?" And if you want, you can talk yourself into a depression very quickly. It's very easy. I know, I do it often. It all depends on what you're going to choose. And so this week we're trying to do this. We actually try and do what we preach, believe it or not. So we're trying to do this whole week, trying to change the culture of our mouths and the culture of how we talk in home. And so she asked me, "Hoe het jy geslaap?" I'm like, "Amazing." She's like, "That's also not going to work." So we try something like, "Dis min, maar it's in." Okay. But we got to start somewhere. We got to start speaking life. We got to start declaring things. And so the thing about counting your blessings is there's something about verbally counting your blessings. You know, you can mentally count them and it doesn't have such an impact. But if you start even writing down writing down the things that the Lord has blessed you. Thank you, Lord, that I have food in my tummy. Thank you that I actually go to bed clean. I have a warm shower. Is there anybody else that's just been praising God for hot water lately? It's like, it's warm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that, I sleep. I'm not hungry. There's actually so much going right for me. But if you start speaking that out, you start influencing the culture of your mouth. And then watch how your day unfolds. But this thing actually needs to become a habit. And your words of thankfulness will lead you to words of life. Okay, number two. So number one, we access the power of thanksgiving. Number two, we learn the art of blessing. Satanists know how to curse and the Christians don't know how to bless. That's my experience. And we kind of save a blessing for like when the kid turns 13 or 18 or gets married or something, and that was it. You got your blessing. But blessing can be a culture. It can be a habit. And Jolene has started doing this in the morning. She kind of just comes eye level with the kids. She holds them by the head and she looks into their eyes and she says, I bless you today in Jesus' name. And then she speaks a few things over them. And if she doesn't do it, the kid's like, but you haven't blessed me yet. And we need to do that more, my love, because it really, really is powerful. You know, when we went on this best practice tour to the UK a few years ago to learn about the healing center, the one that we liked, well, that me and Jolene liked the most was this one in Wales called Feldy Brennan. And a lot of it has to do with a culture of blessing. And so if you read their books, their story is a story of that they accessed the power of blessing, this guy called Roy Godwin. And they started blessing their community. So they would bless, it's a farming community, so they would bless the farmers. And then the farmers would get like record crops, like bumper pumpkins and cows, you know, that give birth to like heavy calves, and it would actually, they would come up to this guy and say, like, we don't know what you did, but this year the season looks different. And I loved what Dominie Piet did 2 or 3 years ago at the combined service. He blessed the harvest of the farmers. He blessed tourism. What would happen if we start speaking life over our valley? And we actually had to start saying, no, we will not have kidnappings on our passes. You know, we will not have storms that come in and ravage our little town again. Lord, we speak life. We speak blessing over our community and over this valley, over the farmers, over international tourism. Lord, send more. Send more tourists. Let the guest houses be chock-a-block right through winter. We choose. We choose what we speak about. The art of blessing, number two. Number three, declare scripture. If you don't know how to bless, at least start agreeing with God. Scripture, the things that he says, how much he loves us, start speaking that out. Remember that if you also want to fight the devil, don't pick up a sword, pick up the Bible. How did Jesus defeat the devil? It is also said, it is also written, Jesus fought the enemy with the word of God. It's so powerful. Number three, declare scripture. Number four, just simply make declarations of life. So this morning when I get up this week, when I realized we've got a culture that's not, it just slowly crept in. It's not like we're extremely negative people. We're actually okay. Don't stress. But slowly things just crept into our mouths. And I just realized like, this is small now, but if it's left unchecked, this is going to reap. We're going to reap bad fruit in our home. And so we're actively trying to turn around our vocabulary choices in our house. And so I remember I used to do this. I used to wake up and I used to say, thank you, Jesus, for the day. This is going to be a good day. You know, instead of saying, oh, I'm so tired, I didn't sleep enough. It's your choice. Yes, you probably didn't sleep enough and you probably won't sleep enough because there's so much to do. But you know, you can still say, it's going to be a good day in Jesus' name. I choose what I put in my mouth. Number four, that was number four. Number five, try praying, not complaining. Okay? Praying, not complaining. Too many of us work at the complaints department of the airport. Do you guys know the ones that ping pong bats and they say complaints, They work for the complaints department at the airport. Okay? Too many of us work for the complaints department. Okay? Sorry, my wife is getting embarrassed of my jokes. It's the last one for the day, okay? Yes. But I was on a Zoom call this week, and the one pastor had this, you know, these virtual backgrounds that they have behind us, so it doesn't look so bad, and people can't see how hectic it looks in your house. So this virtual background said, "Prayer, it really works." And it's a thing we also experienced about 2 weeks ago, and we were faced with two or three scenarios, and I was like, "Man, if this goes wrong, it's really going to go wrong." And she said, "Let's stop. What's the Afrikaans? Tolping." Tulp is a bloom and tulp is, okay. Tulping about this. Let's stop kind of musing on this. Let's stop marinating on this potentially negative situation. Let's stop all of that and let's just pray. And we stop talking. Sometimes we need to stop talking and we just need to pray. And we prayed and vrachtig waar. The next day, boom, boom, boom. Situations are sorted out. It's like we need to stop complaining and we need to start praying. And it's like, I know it works, but sometimes you just need to know that you know it works, if you know what I'm saying. And so it's very, very powerful. And so in closing, I just want to read these two or three things I wrote down here. You see, the world may call this the power of positive speech, or that's new age. You're just wandering into the power of positive thinking. No. What we are tapping into here are biblical principles of speaking life. It's firstly and foremostly a biblical principle. Yes, if you go off the edge, you may get into kind of trying to change the world with your mind or your speech. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about tapping into the biblical principle of speaking life. Number two, don't accommodate negative talk in your atmosphere, in your circles, especially those you are discipling. In my case, our kids. And so once it starts going south, I say, okay, I'm going to set now a 2-minute no negative talk challenge. Okay. And so they kept quiet for 2 minutes and said, "Look, Dad, we won." I said, "No, that doesn't count. You need to talk. And I want to hear words of life. I want to hear words of life." And so set a challenge. So we are going to see that we can speak life for the next few minutes. And so lastly, I've already said this, but some of us actually need a culture change in our mouths because it creeps in slowly. Guys, we can talk about politics, and within 5 minutes, we're all depressed, you know. You can talk about wars and rumors of wars and the future of the world and potential World War IIIs. And I'm not saying there aren't apocalyptic things that need to play out in the end time. All of that is rolling out in God's plan. But what I'm speaking about is if we choose to surround ourselves with people that speak negatively or down or curse or, you know, it's going to influence you badly. And so you need to take charge of your, in a sense, the culture in your mouth and the culture around you and start speaking life. And so in closing, I want us to listen to a song that my son found for us. I think, was it in America? He found a lot of things in America. But one of these songs that he found, and I really liked the words, and I want us to just listen to it. It's a little bit upbeat, so if you're slightly asleep, gaan jy wakker skrik. But let's just listen to the words. Hopefully they've got the video version there at the back. I want you to listen to the words and also to read the words, and then I'm going to close for us. Amen. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you for the instruction of your word. We thank you that your word has not left us in the dark around this thing called the tongue. These things called words. We all have them, Lord, and we can use them for your glory. And so this morning, God, we bring our tongues before you. We bring our speech before you. We bring our words before you. And we bring our choice of words before you. And we choose to speak life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Your word says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. We speak life. We choose life. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would convict, that you would tug, that you would nudge where you need to, Lord, where we have allowed an atmosphere of negative speech or talk into our hearts or into our homes. And this morning, Lord, we declare, Lord, we want to stop. We want to choose life and we want to speak life. Lord, that doesn't mean we're going to be ostriches that put our heads in the sand and imagine that there's nothing wrong in the world or in our lives. No, but we choose to speak hope and life over our valleys, our giants, our darkest circumstances as well, Lord. We speak life. And so just before we close, I just want to, while every eye is closed, I just want to extend an opportunity. If you're sitting here this morning and And you're like, yes, this makes sense. And Pastor, you're onto something here. But you perhaps sitting here this morning, you don't even know this Jesus who gives life. You know, the word says that no one can come to the Father except through the Son. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Perhaps you're sitting here this morning, you don't even know the author of true life. Or you came to him at one stage, but you drifted away and you backslid and you started just doing your own thing again. This morning, there's an opportunity to come to the author and the originator of all true life who enables us to speak life. His name is Jesus. He is life. He came to give us life and life in abundance. And so I want to invite you, if there's anybody sitting here this morning and you don't know this Jesus, or you need to come back to this Jesus, I want you to be really brave. He was really brave. He was not embarrassed. He hung naked on a tree for you 2,000 years ago. And I want you just to be brave and bold and say, that's me, Pastor. I need to come back to Jesus. I need to come to Jesus for the first time. Is there anybody like that this morning? If you're sitting this morning, you say, I need Jesus. Raise your hand where you're sitting. Is there anybody like that? Awesome. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else need to come back to Jesus? Wonderful. And so let's do a group prayer. We're all going to pray with this lady who wants to pray this prayer this morning. And we're all going to join her this morning. Let's say this together. Dear Jesus, let's say it a bit better. Dear Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you that you are here. I heard your voice. You called me, and now I respond. Thank you what you did for me. This morning, Jesus, I declare I need you. My life needs you. All of me needs you. And so I confess with my mouth and I believe with my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, the only way, the only truth, the only life. I confess my sins. I don't want it anymore. I want a new life in Jesus. So Lord Jesus, come and live in my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. And we're nearly done. If I can just ask for 2 or 3 more minutes of your time. I felt that we need to make this practical. It's one thing to hear about speaking life. It's another thing to respond and to speak life. And so I've got a suggestion for you. You don't have to do this. If you're uncomfortable, you don't have to do this. But I got a final slide up there for us. And I want us to find somebody next to you. If you don't know somebody here, find somebody. You don't have to know them. But find somebody next to you. I don't want you to pray for one another this morning. Normally we pray for one another, hey? This morning we're going to speak. Amen? Amen. We're not going to pray. We're going to speak. And so I've made it really simple. Name one thing to the other person that you are thankful for. The goal of the exercise, it needs to come out of your mouth. It can be, thank you for my dog, thank you for whatever, my Ferrari. It doesn't matter, okay? The important thing is that it comes out of your mouth, because when it comes out of your mouth, you must remember God hears everything you say, he knows everything you think, but he knows what you say, and heaven responds to what you say, okay? The devils perk up when we say something. The angels listen to what we say. Every word we will give an account for, okay? So let's speak life. And so let's say one thing we are thankful for, okay? There's probably more, but let's start with one. And then let me stretch you a little bit more. I want you this morning to bless one another, okay? So blessing one another is not praying for them. Blessing for them is looking them in the eye and say, I bless you today, or I bless your business. I bless your marriage. I bless your children. I bless your finances. I bless whatever comes out of my heart. And there's no long stories, no means, but it's the words that count, okay? And so number one thing I'm thankful for, and number two, we look into each other's eyes and say, I bless you, okay? In Jesus' name, amen.